Hey everybody, it's Monday, I
Yeah.
think, isn't it? I never know what fucking
Monday.
day it is anymore. I mean,
Yeah,
I
it's
kind
Monday.
of do, but you know.
Monday. I was up at
Yeah,
the biker bar.
he'd been up at the
I've
biker
been
bar
already
like pretty
drinking.
much over there all afternoon.
Yeah, about 3 and 3.5 hours.
Yeah, when did you leave? I don't remember.
One something.
Yeah, and then you
Came
came
back.
back at like 5:30,
Yeah,
so yeah, like
right.
4 hours.
Fucking had Megan Spivey up there. Fucking posted a video of her. She was streaming to her subscribers and making money, and I was being the cameraman, and she's fucking, it's fucking funny, you know. She was just trying to make money, you know how it is.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, she's up there fucking, shaking her booty and shit, and fucking the bikers are laughing, and I'm the cameraman, and I'm cutting jokes. She wants to come meet you. She's fucking funny. Megan's funny. She moved in here. She moved back, but she's got a little 14-year-old daughter and stuff. You know, she also wants to go to Mannequins and meet Tom, Big Tom,
Okay.
because she's a DJ.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, she's a biker DJ.
Well, they do different nights there. It's
Yeah,
not all. I
yeah,
mean, it's goth and new wave like Fridays and Saturdays, but the
yeah.
rest of the time they do other shit.
She'd be great because I was spinning there on the D on the. On the fucking jukebox, and she's like, "You got good taste in music." And I was like, "Hell yeah!" And she was like, "I like everything you spin." But anyway,
Well, there you
right. I
go.
was showing her pictures of you, and she goes, "Oh, she looks cool. I gotta meet her. She looks fucking awesome." And I was like, "Yeah, you'd like Jenny."
I am quite awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah,
do say so myself.
yeah. She like yeah. She liked you. She's like, "Oh, she looks awesome." Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So let's talk about this movie. Now, this was actually one that you had wanted to watch. I saw it
Yeah,
before, like a long, long time ago, but I
I
couldn't
heard
remember
about
anything
it.
about it. Yeah.
I heard about it, and it came highly recommended because it's kind of like where Alien and Prometheus came from. They were copies of this movie,
Sorta, yeah.
kinda. And I saw it and was impressed. For 1965, this is the shit.
I mean, yeah,
Yeah,
this is Planet of the Vampires.
Planet of the Vampires.
So this was directed by Mario Bava.
Which is one of Jenny's favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't think he did any other sci-fi, but this was kind of like his take on sci-fi.
Now look, Planet of the Vampires is not the original title for this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have anything to do with vampires, really.
Not really.
It's aliens.
It's a vampire-like product, but
Yeah.
they are not vampires in any
Right.
classical stretch of
Yeah,
the word.
I think the fucking Italian name was something like Planet of the Dead or Planet of the
No, it's just
Undead.
called Terror in Space.
Terror in Space, that's what it was.
Terrore nello
Yeah,
spazio.
Terror in Space.
That's what the.
Space terror.
I got some space
Space
terror.
terror,
So
yeah.
that's like nice and generic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, what ended up happening was that, you know how, American International Pictures, they had distributed some of Mario Bava's other movies, like earlier movies, like Black Sunday and Black Sabbath and stuff like that. And they'd had like a lot of success with that. So they were kind of like, well, why don't we just sort of like cut out the middleman and we'll work together with the Italian directors to kind of co-produce things rather than us like just having the finished movie and releasing that, you know what I mean? So this was actually their first like collaboration where they made the movie together. And I think there was like also a Spanish production company in there too. But now this movie is really low budget and it's really funny. Like it has like it's Mario Bava, so it looks fantastic.
Yeah, you don't
It's
need
like
money to make.
giallo in space.
You don't need money to have a cool looking flick. The flick looks really cool, but it's artistic. It's not realistic. A lot of colors, good costumes. It's kind of like something you'd see the British were making in the 70s. Kind of, like Journey to the Center of the Earth or something. You know what I mean? It's kind of like along that lines. I liked it. I liked it. But don't expect realism. Just expect art.
Yeah, I mean,
Artistic shit.
visually, I think
Yeah.
that's its greatest strength.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like a lot of characterization. It doesn't have a lot of, you know, it's a little bit slow. But, you know, and like I said, they're not vampires. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But But just the visuals of it are so fucking awesome looking. And knowing that this was like an influence on Alien, and Slasher Fred points out too that It, The Terror from Beyond Space, is another old sci-fi movie that was also a direct influence on Alien 2. Now the thing about it is that Ridley Scott, now after somebody pointed out, because people pointed out at the time when Alien came out, like back in 1979, that, hey, this is like Mario Bava's Planet of the Vampires, like in some aspects. Ridley Scott said he'd never seen it, which, okay, I can buy that. Dan O'Bannon, the guy that wrote the screenplay, he also said, I never saw that movie back then. But then later on, he admitted, yeah, I did see it. And everyone's like, well, obviously. Well, and the interesting thing about it, too, is that Dan O'Bannon also wrote the screenplay for Life Force, Tobe Hooper's Life Force from 1985.
Similar.
And that was also kind of about space vampires that technically weren't really vampires, but like alien vampires. So it's kind of like, so he must have totally seen this
They
movie.
Weren't really vampires. They're more like body snatchers.
Yeah.
Like a parasite that could get into a dead body and reanimate it.
That's essentially what they were. So it was more like, I mean, there were some like vampiric aspects in the sense, well, in what sense? In one sense where like they buried them and then like the people came back and like pushed off the thing. Yeah. So that's kind of vampire-y, but they weren't like drinking blood or nothing like that. They were more like you said, body snatchers or kind of like symbiotes.
Right.
Type of thing.
They were like disembodied souls that could possess you and make you do things. And if you died, they could get into your body and reanimate your body. But they were just aliens. They weren't any kind of undead thing. But it was kind of neat. They were coming up out of the grave.
Yeah, the corpses were getting back up, but they weren't the same people. No, they were possessed different.
And they were intelligent. They'd talk to you and stuff. Now, the movie, I thought was great. It had a lot of good trick photography. They were trying to give scale to certain shots, like they'd have people in the foreground, and then, you know, like fucking ships in the background. Good costumes. For 65, this looked great, you know? Much better than Star Trek. You know, like the Star Trek television series, a lot better than that. This is kind of like, some people have said that this is the best Italian science fiction movie, which it might be.
It might be. I haven't seen a great deal of Italian cinema. I'm really into Italian horror and giallo movies, but I haven't really seen... I'm not into sci-fi, like, hugely in general, I haven't seen a lot of Italian sci-fi.
I would put this at a similar level to Forbidden Planet. A lot like Forbidden Planet. Even though Forbidden Planet was probably 10 years prior, quality was similar.
Yeah, when Forbidden Planet can't come out? 58?
50s, I think.
I want to say it was 58, but Forbidden, I could be totally wrong about
Forbidden
that.
Planet was cool. But that was like a glorified fucking Star Trek episode. But so is this. It's just the way science fiction was. This is much better than your average science fiction for the 50s and the 60s. It was much better.
Yeah, I mean, for 1965, like I said, even just the visuals alone are gorgeous. And knowing that Mario Bava had essentially like a fucking nickel to work with.
Yeah.
It's so funny, like on the Wikipedia page, they had like a quote from him. And he's like, you know how we made the planet? He's like, that entire planet is two plastic rocks. He's like, two plastic rocks. Hmm. He's like, how we did it was they put...
they turn them around.
They put mirrors, like, to reflect stuff, and he's like, they just covered everything in, like, super saturated colored lights and fog and everything like that. So a lot of it was miniatures and stuff, too, which you can see at the beginning, like, the ships.
Yeah, they're especially, definitely small.
Especially in high definition. You know, the ship at the beginning, like, you're like, it looks like a toy.
Yeah.
But... that's okay, though, because the whole thing is just, like, stylized. And it's not really meant to look realistic or practical or anything.
It's theatrical.
Yeah, I mean, because even, like, the space suits that all the crew members wear are, like, motorcycle leathers.
Yeah, it looks like
with big, huge collars.
Big collars, but you know what? It was good for the time. Yeah. Because then they had other parts to that suit. Like, they had a helmet that went on, and it was flexible. You know what I mean? Where they could look around instead of having the big dome over their head, like a lot of the suits of the time on the in movies. The space suits I thought were futuristic for 1965. Yeah. They looked good. They also looked expensive. They were definitely leather. You know.
Yeah, they were like leather jumps. Like you said, it was like a motorcycle. Like something that motorcycle racers would wear, but like real stylish because it's Italian.
Yeah, and some people be like, well, what, you know, motorcycle. Italy has always been known for motorcycle leathers. They have a lot of fucking companies that come from there. And back in the 60s, you had small shops that would make motorcycle racing suits, you know, to order for racers. And it looks like it was something that came out of one of those motorcycle racing shops. But they look good.
They look actually beautifully made.
Yeah.
But the first time, like, I saw the whole crew wearing that, I'm like, they must be sweating their balls off.
Yeah, they look hot. It's, like I said, it's not realistic, but it is stylish. And the same thing with the fucking insides of the spaceship. Back in the 50s, an American spaceship interior was a black and white room with some fake computers with a bunch of lights. This one, it was on par of, say, better than Star Trek, the Star Trek fucking Enterprise from the television series. It was better than that. And it was dark. It was like kind of like a haunted. They were trying to make it look like everything was haunted.
Yeah.
They were trying to spook you out, which is great, you know what I mean? Because that's kind of what Alien was trying to do. Everything was dark and kind of wet and fucking rusty. And this one, no. It was dark with blue lights or green lights and round fucking entrance ways. And it was just, they were just trying to put a different mood than you would normally see back in fucking 65 for space. This is supposed to be kind of like scary space.
Scary space.
Scary space. And it worked. Haunted space.
Yeah.
You know, for that time. It's a good flick.
Yeah, this one. Oh, you know what's interesting, too? I didn't realize this when we were watching it, but this is actually based on a short story, like an Italian short story. But the screenplay was written by good old Ib Melchior. I think that's how you pronounce it. And he also wrote The Angry Red Planet and The Time Travelers, which was actually on the newer MST, which is actually not a bad movie, and Robinson Crusoe on Mars, and Reptilicus, which was also on the new, on the new MST. So he wrote, like, I kind of feel like he wrote a bunch of 50s sci-fi. I think he was, wasn't he Dutch or something like that? I think I looked him up before. But I think he wrote, what was that one where the fucking, the Mole People? Did he write The Mole People? I don't know, but he might be like wrote something like that. But Angry Red Planet and Time Travelers, Robinson Crusoe, Mars, Reptilicus, those are the ones that he's like best known for. But so listen to what happens in this movie and let me know if you think that this that Dan O'Bannon totally saw Alien before. Now, I'm willing to concede that maybe, because I've had this happen to me before, because I'm a writer too. Sometimes you see something, like a movie or whatever, like a long time ago, and you don't really remember it, but then like later on, you're like writing a story, and you're like, oh, hey, I got this idea, and then you write it, and then you rewatch that movie you saw a long time, and you're like, oh, fuck, I just like ripped that off. But like, you didn't remember, you didn't consciously like rip it off, you were just like, you know, remembered it without remembering it, you know what I'm saying? But so, this is what happens in this movie. So there's two big ships, right? And they're going into space, and they get a distress signal, from a ship called the Aura. Now, these two ships are called the Galliot and the Argus.
Yeah.
And so they land on the planet to see what the fuck is going on. Now, this part isn't like Alien, but when they first land there, like, it gets, like, super gravitational, like, as so everybody, like, starts smushing down. It's, like, super funny. Yeah. And they're just like, oh, no, the 5Gs, it's 5Gs.
Yeah, the science makes no sense in the movie, but science never made sense in most of these.
I really like the scientific bullshit jargon in this one. It really entertained me.
Makes no sense.
I like that, what's the
infrared
one
infrared this and infrared beams.
And 60 particles of megon, like, instead of minutes or something like that. Or parcels of Megan or whatever it was he said. Yeah, I really liked that.
It was kind of ruined the movie with the pseudoscience. They shouldn't have done that, but they didn't know what the future would be like, so they had to just kind of make it up, I guess, you know. But what was cool is that the ships did look neat from a 60s point of view.
Yeah.
Kind of like manta rays with jet engines on them.
Yeah.
You know, something like you'd see out of a Japanese super robot comics, you know, like something out of Grandizer or fucking, you know. Neat, you know, fucking, like I said, a little fucking pointed fucking manta ray looking thing with fucking jet engines and...
And the ships looked like they... I couldn't tell because of all the, like, pretty Mario Bava lighting, but they looked like they were blue.
Yeah.
Like, blues. With glowy... I'm just, like I said, I'm a sucker for any of that, like, super, like, saturated lighting. Like, Slash of Red brought up Blood and Black Lace. Yeah, I just, like, I love that look. I love all that Dario Argento shit, which was inspired by Mario Bava. I just love the look of that. And if you don't have a lot of money, I mean, lights are cheap, so... You know, you see we did the colored light thing back there, and I love that. And I leave those on all the time because I like the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But afterward, you know, after they all get smushed by the gravity, then suddenly they kind of start going nuts and trying to start to kill each other. So there's that. But then they finally get there. Everybody, like, sorts everything out. And then they find the other ship, but there's, like, a bunch of dead bodies in it. And so they end up burying them. And then, or they bury some of them, and then they go back to get some of the other ones, but then they're like, hey, wasn't the bodies here? And then they're gone. So, you know, the plot thickens. Now, the interesting thing, though, and the one thing I think that is the main thing that you can take away, like, why this is, like, alien, is because one of the other ships that they find, which you're led to believe is, like, an alien ship that crashed here at some much earlier time, they go in there, and there is a big, huge skeleton of an alien being.
Well, there's several.
There's one on the outside and there's one inside.
And there's also one in the door, but you only see his hands.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a lot like an alien when they find the engineers in the fucking suits.
It's pretty much exactly like that. It's pretty
And you're wondering, like, well, are these the bad guys or whatever? And no, they were just some other suckers that got fucking called into this planet and got killed.
Yeah, who were like not humans. Right. Yeah, so...
And later on, you hear recordings of their voices, and it's like...
Yeah, so that's almost exactly like Alien or Prometheus, because... Right. Yeah, you get the whole thing where that's like these big giant... Because we were like, yeah, that's pretty much exactly like Alien. And I don't know if that was in the original short story, because I haven't read it. It's in Italian, and I don't know if there's an English translation of it. But yeah, that was totally that. So yeah, so then they find out, like, they all start dying, like, people die, like, they start getting into fights and killing each other off, and then they'll bury the bodies, but then the bodies get back up and start walking around again. So like I said, that's kind of where the vampire thing comes from, I guess, because they do bury them in the hole. They put them in, like, nice in a plastic bag, like, to keep them fresh or whatever. And then they put, like, this big metal slab over them, and then they do this big, tall metal doohickey, which I guess is sort of like a gravestone. But, so there are a couple shots of, like, the dudes, like, waking up and, like, pushing the top of the tomb off, but pretty much that's the only vampire-like thing that's happening in this movie. But you don't really find out until later that what is actually happening is that, like you said, because they do say, oh, we saw these flashing lights and we couldn't tell what they were. People keep disappearing, dead people keep, like, getting back up and walking around. And then they find out that what it is these aliens are, like you said, they're essentially, like, disembodied souls, or these little light things that are floating around, and they need to get the fuck off this planet. And so they're like, well, we keep having a distress signal so you dumbasses can come here and we can, like, possess your bodies and then we can take your ships and fuck off to somewhere else.
Which I think happened in Star Trek before.
That does sound very familiar. I mean, and it'd be interesting to know, like, who was actually the first person that came up with that plot, because I do kind of feel like that's been done a lot.
Yeah.
Like, aliens that are like, oh, help us, and they're like, suckers, we just needed your ship so we can get the fuck off here.
Remember the little fucking aliens go, bzzz, sound like a fucking buzzing going around, but then they'd slowed it down as people talking? Remember that?
Which one was that? The same? I feel like we just rewatched, like, all the old Star Treks, like, probably. We watch, like, the whole series, like, once every couple of years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mostly to see Leonard Nimoy and fucking Shat.
Well,
Those two dudes are fucking awesome. Right,
That's the best part.
Yeah. They're going to play fucking Star Trek The Motion Picture. On the big screen at AMC.
Yeah, Fathom Events is doing it.
Yeah.
I'll have to look up when that is, because I never got to see that on the big screen, actually.
I saw it on the big screen. It was great.
I wouldn't mind seeing it on the big screen. Yeah. I like that Fathom Events does that. Like, they all, because we saw The Shining that way. We saw the Alien.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, like, really cool that they do that, because there's a lot of stuff that I didn't get to see.
Play the old shit, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff
I need. I want to see Predator 1 on the big screen again.
I'm sure they'll get around to it. I mean, maybe you can.
Go
to the Fathom Events website and see if there's maybe they have like some polls or petitions or something like that, like for people what they want to see and shit. Or I guess maybe if you'd have to go around it like when an anniversary is of that movie, because I think that's why they usually do it. But yeah, so basically you find out that these aliens and I kind of want to spoil the end because, like, the end was like, what? Like, it had this kind of big gotcha ending.
It has some gotcha endings. I don't think we should spoil it.
You don't think we should? Okay.
In case people want to see it. Because it's on for free, right?
Yeah, we watched it on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime for free.
Yeah. And that was like, this and Angry Red Planet, which is the same writer.
Yeah.
Not the same director, obviously. But yeah, those are both on Amazon Prime for free. So, and they're kind of similar. But this one's
better.
This one I think is better. It looks better. It's, like I said, it's kind of slow, like, because you can tell that it was low budget, and so they needed to, like, kind of pad it out with, like, lots of shots of people, like, walking around and shit.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, like, that happened with all the movies back
then. There is some things about this movie that makes it different, though. This is an Italian movie, and you have cute Italian girls in there, but there isn't any gratuitous fucking titty shots or anything.
So a bunch of guys were just like, well, fuck that, I'm not going to watch it then.
Yeah.
No boobies.
There isn't any of that. What is kind of good about this movie is that the female characters are not super screamy and fainty, and they're not there just to be eye candy. They're actually are crew members, which kind of reminds me of Alien 2 and Aliens, when the female crew members were just crew members.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I mean,
they're really trying to bring that across in this movie. That they're just crew members. They're not here to take their fucking tops off, basically.
Yeah, they have the same uniforms as the guys. Not even like Star Trek, where it's like, oh, the guys have like the normal shit, but you have to like wear a super short skirt. You know what I mean? Even though it's like really impractical.
It was genderism in the 60s. You know what I mean?
But this one, everybody had the same uniforms.
Yeah.
And the women. Now, there was one woman when one of the guys like got back, like came back from the dead. The woman with the big blonde beehive type thing. She screamed and fainted. But one, the dude was back from the dead, so I'll give her a pass. Yeah. And two, I think a dude fainted too at some point, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that they didn't really make any like, oh, you womany, you know, they didn't do that kind of thing. And honestly, they could all shoot, they could all do the same shit that the dudes could do.
I think it was trying to be futuristic for 65, to where there was like gender equality into it. And I think that inspired them in Alien 1 and 2 to take that to the next level, where there are female fucking colonial marines, and they're badasses too, and the fucking women are all kind of just like the male counterparts for the most part. There isn't anything fucking high. Which some people would go like, well, hey, that's not all that cool. I mean, people have jet. That's not what it was. Just they were just trying to make it more realistic. That's the way life really is like, you know, really is more like that. It would just be a bunch of random people trying to work.
Yeah.
You know, more than anything else, you know.
And that's kind of what this is. I kind of feel like, I mean, in Alien, I kind of feel like all their roles were more clearly delineated, like what they did on the ship. In this one, it just kind of seems like everyone's just like crew members. You know what I mean? Like, one of the women, I think, is a communications officer, it seems like, from what her job is. And there's one guy on there who's a doctor, but they don't really do a lot of stuff having to do. They're just kind of there to get
trying to
killed.
Survive. Yeah, they're trying to survive.
get killed and come back from the dead. we kind of laughed because the doctor on there is named Dr. Karen. And so as soon as they said it's K-A-R-A-N. But I was like, as soon as I was like, oh, Dr. Karen, he wants to talk to your supervisor. So there was that kind of shit, too. But we did have a good time, like, watching this. It is, like I said, it's kind of slow, but a lot of movies back then kind of were. But honestly, you could put, like, some music behind this, and it would make, like, a kick-ass. I mean, just, like, every shot of it, it's just, like, gorgeous looking. It's gorgeous looking. And hilariously, just like a lot of other Italian movies and like a lot of Giallo movies, if you watch a lot of those, every single cast member in this, I think, spoke a different language. So yeah. Everybody just spoke their native language. And I think Mario Bava said, yeah, they mostly didn't have a clue what they were saying to each other. And then they just overdubbed it, like, later on. So I think there was, like, some Italian speakers, some English speakers, some Portuguese speakers, some Spanish speakers. So it was, like, everybody was, like, just saying their own stuff. So, you know, so there is that. So everything's dubbed, but like I said, that's kind of, like, par for the course for
John Goris says, I saw Star Trek the motion picture in the theater and was, like, six. It blew my mind, but I didn't really love it. But, well, you know, yeah, I understand what you're talking about. What you want to do is you want to see Star Trek Continues. That's free on YouTube, and it's a kind of like a fan series, but it's the final season of Star Trek, the old series, redone by a new cast, a lot of the same writers from the old series. It's a great final season to Star Trek. And it kind of... If you see that last series of Star Trek Continues on fucking YouTube, and then you watch Star Trek The Next Generation, they bridged the two kind of together. Actually, it would go into the movies, really. But and Star Trek The Motion Picture makes a lot more sense when you see the final season of Star Trek. Watch Star Trek Continues, because it goes right into that. About what happened to Spock. Why did he go back to fucking Vulcan? Why, you know, why'd all this shit happen? What was up with the fucking Esper? Well, you don't know about the Espers, because that's in that last one, but... No. Fucking the guys from Star Trek Continues fucking really made Star Trek The Motion Picture a lot better. The costumes, the music, and everything. It goes right into it. So I recommend that. But, The motion picture was good. I've seen it fucking 5 or 6, 7 times. I have it. It is good. It's just that it was kind of a transition, because they were going to make a television series, but instead that they made that movie. The television series is going to be called Star Trek Phase 2, I think it was what the name of the television series was. And a lot of the people that were going to be like the new captain and everything are almost kind of like extras in this. Remember the guy who ended up being the captain? He had to stay with V'ger. He was going to be the new captain. So it's a lot more interesting when you know the backstory between that. Because it would kind of have been cool to have a whole series with that crew.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
It would have been kind of interesting, but... No, they decided to do movies instead. And they got rid of the crew. But, you know...
Well, you're fine.
But that whole thing brought in fucking The Next Generation. And Star Trek The Next Generation was a great series. Real good. Even though, and some of you motherfuckers might say, oh, you're full of shit. I actually liked fucking Star Trek fucking Enterprise with Scott Bakula and fucking Jolene Blaylock and everything. That was my... The first season and a half kind of slow, but once that bitch started rolling, I really liked that series better than Next Generation.
I feel like I've seen some of Next Generation. I've seen all of Enterprise because you liked it, so I sat. And
I liked all Enterprise. Of that.
But I don't know which one I liked. I still like the original one.
Yeah.
I don't love any of the other ones as much as I love
Next Generation was good. It took a while for it to find its feet. It got kind of soapy after a while. But it was still pretty good. And certain episodes really stood out from Next Generation. So it ranged from good to really excellent. But there's something about... fucking Enterprise that I liked, because they didn't have a lot of technology. In Next Generation, they could fix anything. They had so much technology. Geordi could fix anything, and that was the problem with it. But not in Enterprise. In Enterprise, they didn't have any technology. That's even before Captain Kirk. It was when the fucking Federation hadn't even started, really, when. The Federation hadn't started until that series ended. It had a really good mirror episode that explained what happened to the Defiant. Anyway, I'm going off into Trek land. Fuck Star Trek.
I know. I just can't keep you on one topic.
Yeah.
John Gore says, I always mix up Forbidden Planet with This Island Earth. I do a little bit, too. But, yeah. This Island Earth I remember more because that was, like, MST3K, the movie.
Yeah, but Forbidden Planet was a lot better.
Well, I know. This Island Earth was kind of... Yeah. This Island Earth is good, too, but I don't know. I like those fucking... I like those aliens with the big fucking...
Brains.
Yeah. Or as on MST, they called them Uncle Scrotor. But because his head looked like a scrotum. Yeah, Lars Ulrich said there was a scary space movie from the 80s, I think, with the vampires, but with space vampires, I don't remember the title. And yeah, John Gore said Life Force. Yeah, we mentioned that earlier. And like I said, that's the same writer, Dan O'Bannon, as Alien, and Alien was absolutely inspired by
Life Force. Planet was fucking crazy.
I really liked Life Force.
It was good, though, yeah.
That's the one with the naked chick walking around.
Yeah, you had a hot, middle Eastern European naked chick walking around through the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, she's a naked alien.
Being a fucking
vampire. She didn't need any damn clothes.
When you look like that, you don't need clothes. That's what they're paying you for.
Well, yeah. And they're just like, and they would go around like sucking everybody's like fucking essence out or whatever.
And British soldiers are fighting them with fucking Steyr Aug fucking assault rifles, bullpups and shit. The whole thing is pretty good. Yeah.
But yeah, so if you're at all into sci-fi or if you're all into Alien and you're kind of curious to see where Dan O'Bannon maybe got some of the ideas for the shit, especially with like the big skeletons for like the engineers and stuff.
Well, landing on alien planets and finding scary shit.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Which, like I said, that's so general that, because a lot of 50s sci-fi had that too. But specifically, those big skeletons, like finding that other alien. Yeah, I kind of feel like
the big legs to the ships and shit. Fucking, there's a lot about
it. I think that was absolutely that. He definitely got the idea for Alien for that. And yeah, there was another one called It, The Terror from Beyond Space, which also had some aspects to it that I don't want to say Alien ripped it off. I'm just saying it was inspired by. It was an homage. Let's call it that. But yeah, so if you're interested in that, then probably this one and It, The Terror from Beyond Space, you should probably see these. As I said, if you're into Mario Bava and you really love his visual style, then this one is, you know, again, it's like a giallo in space. It's just basically like just colored lights and fog, and it's pretty awesome. But yeah, so it's totally worth watching. So, you know. That'll, you done talking about it?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Slash Fred said there's an Alien ripoff called Galaxy Terror with Robert Englund.
Galaxy Terror.
I think we reviewed that not too long ago.
Yeah, I like
actually.
That movie.
I do as well.
That movie actually is what brought old What's-His-Name into fucking, it brought him in the forefront, and he came up with Alien 2. And,
James Cameron.
James Cameron that did that movie. Did all the fucking special effects.
It also had Aaron Moran in it from Happy Days.
Right. And Terminator 1 came from that, and Alien 2 came from that.
And had a lady getting raped by a giant worm.
Yeah, she was hot, too. Big old worm was fucking rubbing on her titties and shit, and slime and shit. And I'm fucking like a teenager, and I'm going, oh, yeah, I wish I was that worm. That's what these movies
were
for.
Sid Haig was in it, too, wasn't he?
Sid Haig was in it.
That's right, I forgot.
As just some kind of generic fucking weird fucking cultist badass in the fucking crystal. I live for the crystals.
That's right, yeah.
And that shit fucking jumped up in his arm and went up to his... It was kind of like an Alien ripoff, and it was so good that the guys that fucking wanted to do Alien 2 hired him to fucking make it. Okay.
Galaxy of Terror is
Galaxy
like,
Terror's
yeah, it was made as an Alien ripoff, but its story is different enough, and it's kind of like a good movie in its own right. It's not as good as Alien, but it's still pretty decent.
No, it's not as good as Alien 1. But Alien 2, fucking, you know, that he knocked it out of the damn park.
Yeah,
so Galaxy of Terror was fun, man. They played it over and over on fucking HBO and Cinemax, and we grew up watching it and fucking liking it. You know, it was a creepy space movie.
Yeah, I can't remember how long ago. We did a review of it probably like last year, I want to say.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I respect Galaxy of Terror.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
All right, so that'll do it, I guess, for today. I guess tomorrow we'll talk about Gone Baby Gone, because Louis sent us that a while back, and it took me like forever to watch it, but I watched it last night, so we'll talk about it tomorrow. So yeah, thanks for dropping by today, and we will see you guys again tomorrow evening.